Welcome to the Beyond Atheism podcast with me, Nathan Alexander, and my co-host, Todd Tavares. Moving beyond questions of God's existence, this podcast asks, what's next in a godless world? If you're enjoying the show so far, please like and subscribe, rate and review, and consider supporting us on Patreon.
Today, we have the pleasure of being joined by Dr. Will Judy. Will is an urgent care physician who practices in the Houston, Texas area. His secular activism began in 2016 when he joined Houston Oasis, a local group committed to building community for the non-religious, where he is now on the board. Since then, Will has taken on leadership positions with Houston Atheists and become the state director of Texas for American Atheists. He's used these positions to build advocacy coalitions across Texas, which include both secular and non-secular organizations. Because of his work, he was recently recognized as the American Atheist Activist of the Year. Will, welcome to Beyond Atheism.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, yeah, thanks so much, Will, for coming on. Just to begin, we usually ask something about your background. We want to walk through sort of your biography, but just to begin, tell us, how did you come to be an atheist?
Man, so my journey was very gradual. I didn't grow up in a religious household. We really didn't go to church much, like maybe once a year, maybe. But my dad put my sister and I in a private school. This is back in the 1979 or so. So this is in South Texas. So he put us in a private school so that we can go at our own pace. You'd have to know my dad for this. So I skipped two grades as a result. He was right on that point. But it was a private school, a non-denominational Christian school. So every school day we had an hour of Bible study. And I actually learned a lot about the Bible, Christianity. I became saved. I was a good Christian boy. That's where my indoctrination happened. That's where I became a Christian. And I was in that school from grades one until grade nine. So I left that school in grade 10 and went to a magnet school for health professionals, a health professions high school, again, back in South Texas. So I didn't have the daily indoctrination, and that's where my slow, gradual flittering away from Christianity and belief happened. And then, so you go to college, and you really start to learn about a bigger world, and you learn about other religions, other histories, start to meet people from other places, and with that wider world, you get more knowledge. And at the same time, I wasn't having that indoctrination. So I still believe, actually, until my early mid-30s, but it was just a gradual floating away from Christianity and then religion in general.
Wow. So, I mean, one of the takeaways from that story is, like, it worked, right? Like, the religious school, religious education convinced you to become religious, and it took you a long time to get back to non-theist. How long would you say it was between your, I don't know, baptism? Were you ever baptized?
Yes.
Wow. And so from then until you came out as an atheist, how long did it take?
I kind of declared myself an atheist in 2017. So wow. I was 30. Yeah, I was like 30, 40. Gosh, sorry. Yeah. Dang, what? How many years ago was that?
Yeah, right? A lot, yeah.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Yeah, it was my early 40s. So,
yeah.
But I remember I was flittering away at that point. Man, yeah. Maybe it was late 40s. But I never really had a driving force to leave religion. I just flittered away from it. It wasn't an important part of my life. And then I kind of stumbled upon a secular group that was Houston Oasis. And I really wasn't looking for a community, but once I stumbled in, I was hooked. It was just because of the people, and they were terrific, and they still are. And that accelerated my path down secularism, leaving religion, and finally just being comfortable saying, you know what, I'm going to call myself an atheist because I want to normalize that term. I want to make it normal for the wider world.
Yeah, that's a good segue to ask. Can you say more about what is Houston Oasis, and how did you find that group? Did you seek out a secular group, or were you just kind of stumbled upon them?
So I wasn't looking for it, but I was wooing a pretty lady.
Okay.
Yeah. So she was actually looking for community, and we both we had a lot in common. One of the things we had in common was non-religious, and just non-religious. And she was looking for community, and I didn't really know they existed, but she sent me the email, the link, the website. And I was reading it, and I was like, oh, this sounds actually pretty darn cool. So, yeah, I went on my own, really. And from there on, I was hooked. That was like 2016.
Yeah. And so did you jump right into taking leadership positions and being active in the community?
I was always active. I never was looking for a leadership role. I was kind of busy at that time. I had two girls, and they were teenagers at the time. So I really wasn't looking to put more stuff on my plates. But I was active. I was excited. I was excited by meeting these new people. I was excited with the things we were doing, volunteering and stuff in the community, and just hanging out with like-minded people. That's what instantly hooked me. And I actually, being the skeptic I am, I remember, because at the time, they had an executive director who was this really charismatic, really cool dude. But I asked myself 4 or 5 times in that first year, like, am I in a cult?
Yes. Yeah.
This seems good. But yeah, I always examined my situation from the outside. And I never thought I was in a cult, really. I just questioned it. And even to this day, 6 years later, no, it's not a cult.
Yeah. So what were the highlights from the pamphlet that hooked you? Tell us more about, give us the overview of what Houston Oasis is and what they do and what they're like.
Yeah, it was the core values. That's what kind of got me. And they really aligned with the way I wanted to be and the way I wanted society to be. And that's kind of what did it. And again, just thinking about, oh, there's a community. There are people that think like me.
So, could you tell us what those core values are?
Yes. Yeah, there are 5. People are more important than beliefs. Reality is known through reason. Meaning comes from making a difference. Human hands solve human problems, and be accepting and be accepted. My favorite is the reality is known through reason. I have the T-shirt.
Okay, you're right. Yeah.
But a lot of people really like that people are more important than beliefs for good reason.
And it sort of gives us an idea of what that sort of secularism is, which is another, it's a whole thing about like how is it that atheists stand for something, right? We have that challenge. But these core beliefs really lay it out. How do they enact it? Like showing that people are more important than beliefs, right? Saying like that's a statement that says like atheism is really irrelevant. It's really saying, well, you know, it's humanism in some form.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. What sort of activities have they done? How do they show this belief? How do they put it into practice?
Yeah, you're right on the fact that atheism just means what we don't believe, but these are all humanistic values, and it's a secular humanism is what we do believe in. What do? We often do volunteer events at the Houston Food Bank, Books Between Kids. There's other places we do volunteer work. And the speakers that we bring in, we kind of ask them to give a talk through the prism of these core values. If it conflicts with any of them, then we don't have them as a speaker. We have almost weekly speakers come through. So yeah, we have done a great job with having speakers over the years. It's a lot of hard work getting speakers in, but we have local speakers. We have speakers from out of town. We had Mandisa Thomas last month. We're going to have Seth Andrews this month. So it's, we did a good job with bringing speakers in. So yeah, when we're volunteering as a human hand solve human problems, that's perfect for the food bank.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So how did you go and then to link up with American atheists?
Oh, good question. So we had a speaker, their field organizer in 2019. He came and spoke to Houston Oasis. And we sometimes we'll take the speaker out the night before and just kind of hang out at a bar or a restaurant or something. So we were hanging out, and we were just got to talking, and one thing led to another, and he kind of offered me the opportunity to be assistant state director for American Atheists. You have a state director over the whole state, but then you have assistant state directors for pretty much individual cities or maybe chunks of a state. So they needed a presence in Houston. He kind of, I think he liked what our conversation, or I never asked him why, but he asked me if I was interested, and I said, yeah, that sounds terrific. So I started off as an assistant state director in 2019, and then I became state director in March of this year. Again, they needed a presence. They needed that. There was a vacuum to be, a void to be filled, and they asked me to do it. I was a little bit hesitant just because my plate's kind of full already with local activism stuff, which we'll get into later. But I thought it was so worth it. American Atheists are wonderful. It's a great national organization. And with this title, with this responsibility, I have plans to kind of, whatever I'm doing here in Houston, to upscale it, to do more of a statewide version of it.
Yeah. Are there a lot of other either oases or communities like that in Texas?
Yes, Oasis. There's an Oasis network. So Houston Oasis was the first, but there are a number of them scattered throughout the country. I believe two in Utah, there is one in Kansas City, one in North Orlando, Wichita has one. Yeah, they're peppered around the country.
Oh, that's fantastic. So and now they're connected with, at least you're connected with both. That's a fantastic connection to have.
It is. I get to wear multiple hats, and it's made things that we try to do locally, we being Houston Oasis and now Houston Atheists. And we have the backing of a national group, so that makes things a lot easier. Plus, I'm a liaison between the two. And again, that if we ever need anything, I can facilitate that stuff. So it's been cool.
Yeah. And it sounds like it's easy to set up and apparently move up through the ranks. Will, that is a quick ascent. That's pretty impressive.
From just declaring yourself an atheist. Just recently, yes. Right. Yeah.
Nick, I couldn't talk because you're making me blush.
Yeah. I know. Apparently, it's just you just have to go out to dinner with someone, and they appoint you the state director.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, this will to make you blush more. You were recently named the American Atheist Activist of the Year. Can you talk about that? What were some of the things you were doing that caught the eye of American Atheists?
Man, I don't know. I was absolutely I had no idea it was coming. It was at a national convention in Atlanta in April, and we have a banquet that Saturday night, and we give out awards, or three awards, and I was one of the state directors, so I'm sitting in the front. And anyway, the president, Nick Fish, is announcing the activist of the year, and Nick Fish is saying, this person, again, I had zero idea.
They pushed you with an award.
Yeah.
This person helped a lot during the COVID times, and this person is doing a lot in their state. And then when he said, and doing a lot in Texas, and I remember, I instantly thought, yeah. Who else is in Texas? Like, who are the other directors in Texas? And by the time I realized, I was like, holy shit, he's talking about me. Looked up and he just said my name. I'm usually very level-headed, very stoic, and I'm not shaken, but I was shook. To this day, I can't believe it. So apparently, people noticed what I was doing locally here in Houston, and it resulted in a really cool award and notice from the national group.
Yeah,
I'm very actually very honored.
Yeah, I mean it's astounding. I mean everything in your story so far is amazing, Will. And especially coming out of Texas, do you hear, like, when you talk to other people, does it sound like Texas is a more difficult place to be an atheist? What's the general atmosphere like down there?
Yeah, in general, it is. I happen to live in Houston, which is a blue island in the Red Sea, they call it. Fairly liberal here in the big cities, but the rural areas of Texas, which are huge just by area and population, it rivals the cities. A lot of really religiosity out there. So I don't really hang out to any great extent in the rural areas, but even in the cities, there's a ton of churches, and people still, you meet someone and one of the first questions they ask is like, what church do you go to? Not as bad in the cities, Houston especially, but it's yeah, the religiosity is unmistakable here.
Wow. I had never heard of like that coming up in conversation that at all, actually, like which church do you go to?
Where are you from?
I'm from Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it might just be that it's always assumed you're Catholic, but I mean, like, it's just not something that we would rank, you know? Eve, is there much pressure to be religious outside of that in the culturally?
The pressure would come from your inner circle, friends, family, maybe coworkers, and I do not get pressure from any of those. So personally, I don't feel pressured. And as a result, I get to proudly and openly wear the American Atheist hat. I don't believe even and do all that stuff openly. But yeah, there are plenty of other people in the state that do feel pressure from somewhere in the inner circle to either pretend that they believe or deny or just keep their non-belief secret as much as they can. Mm.
Is it an issue for your membership in the Oasis or the Houston Atheists that they're trying to?
You know what it is? Yeah, I think any secular group, especially in the down here in the South in the Bible Belt, like Houston Oasis, Houston Atheists, there is a public forward-facing social media platform, let's just say Facebook. So there's a public one that really is very, very vague. And then there's a private portion of those Facebook pages. And that's where the activity, that's where the messages, that's where the posts happen, is the private part, because they want anonymity. So yeah, it's a thing with secular groups down here.
Yeah. One of the things, I mean, we're sort of thinking about on the podcast is what do sort of these secular groups offer to people? And I feel like it's probably depends partly on where you are. And I think, you know, maybe in a place like Texas, well, maybe I'll ask you, like, I mean, I guess they could act as sort of like a support group could be one thing to connect people maybe who don't know many other secular people. That could be one thing that these organizations do.
Absolutely. Yeah. I didn't have any religious trauma myself, but a lot of people do. Trauma that happened while they were in a church, or trauma trying to leave a church and it causes family strife and such. So yeah, religious trauma is absolutely a thing. So to find community in your quote new life would help out a ton. And just to have a space to grow, to continue your path down non-belief and leaving religion behind, that community is a big deal with some people.
Yeah. How big is the community now among in the Oasis network and for Houston Oasis?
It's hard to tell. People kind of leave and come back. The meetups of both are in the like 1,000 to 2,000 for each group in general, maybe a little more. But again, there might be a lot of old numbers. Houston Oasis before the apocalypse happened, we were averaging like 70 people a week in person. Since the pandemic, through the pandemic and now coming out of the pandemic, we're slowly increasing, but we're kind of averaging about 35, 40-ish people now.
Wow.
In person.
So did you guys shut down or go online only during the pandemic?
We did online for the pandemic. And when we opened back up, it was with a lot of precautions. So evidence-based, science-based. So we, I think we did it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. Yes, you take it right. Serious. Yeah.
Yeah.
As a doctor.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I was fortunate to have it. There's another doctor at Oasis, and the both of us kind of were the so-called experts. I mean, we were in the trenches. We dealt with COVID a lot. So I guess we were experts. I'll just go ahead.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. The question about being online raises kind of like some another issue we've talked about with different organizers is more of the sort of nitty gritty of organizing, like the practical things, like do you have a dedicated space for your group? And like another thing we talked about is like how to manage money and things like the more sort of practical issues that is sort of a constant struggle for secular groups.
Yeah, we have a board that's really active. They've done a great job over the years with doing the work that goes behind an organization. So you're right, the money and the speakers, dealing with drama, little fires that come up with members, that kind of thing. So being on a board, yeah, it's just a lot of work keeping this machine going. So they and we have done a terrific job with that. And it takes energy. It takes people that want to put energy into making this work. And before the pandemic, it was okay, but pandemic really has tired a lot of people out. And not only us, but I think it's a very common thing statewide and nationwide that the people that were on the board, like us, through the pandemic, we've kind of overextended our stay and we need fresh blood, and that fresh blood isn't really coming as fast as we would like. So we're working on it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's sort of ironic that I feel like probably churches have the same, same issues, I guess, of like wanting new people and not getting it necessarily. Yet again, another issue we've talked about is how to kind of build sort of sustainable, lasting communities. And what has been successful for you guys so far in terms of, you know, getting people, first of all, getting people in the door and then getting them to come back?
Yeah, I would say our speaker committee has done a great job with that. I give them kudos because I think that's what keeps people coming and brings in new people through our doors. So having great speakers, again, Seth Andrews this month, Mandisa Thomas last month, local speakers and great topics as well. I think that has done a great job. Our marketing has been good. We have to be careful with marketing just because, again, it's kind of a weird environment to be really out there blaring your trumpet that, hey, we're secular, look at us. So we have to do it with some caution. I've been at the activist flavor in this group. Houston Oasis is not an activist group, but I do have an activism energy to me, obviously.
Yeah, clearly.
So I'm we'll get into. Well, yeah, I do have a story. It's a segue into another.
Oh, go for it. Go for it. Because I mean, there is like right now there. One of the enigmas of Will Judy is where did this come from? Mm, how was it? Like, was this? Had you been active in other things before this happened, or what? Was it that someone lit a match and set off a powder keg? How did this?
That is a terrific question because no one forced me to do this. Everything I'm doing is on my own accord. And the reason I do it is because it brings me joy. And when it stops bringing me joy, I'll stop doing it. But I love the people that I am meeting in this journey. I love the fact that I am making the world a better place, at least in my opinion. And it brings me great joy. And I've sacrificed exercise, I've sacrificed relationships for it, but I still think it's worth it at this time. So, yeah, so go back. Yeah, in my life, I'd watched the news. I voted every 2 years, but I never really got into local politics. I would vote for president, maybe a senator, but I wouldn't take the time to know who county judges or my Texas senator or that kind of thing, down ballot. So that was most of my life. I had two young girls I raised, a job, and life was fine. But what changed everything really was the election of 2016. And that got me off the couch and made me think I need to do more to push back against this bullshit that happened. I couldn't believe it. I still get a little nauseated. That could happen. And I get it. People, there's a big chunk of America that are elated that happened, but that's not me. And so my first foray into activism was actually going out and getting more political. I joined a group that was specifically there to get a local politician elected. She was running to flip U.S. House of Representatives seat here in Houston from Republican to Democrat. It was one that was in play. It was one that was, we could flip it. So I joined them, and over the months, I met some people, started to get more political and research stuff. It was cool. But at the same time, I found the Houston Oasis. So it was more of a joint thing, two separate tracks. And I started realizing the secular world and religion is folded into this conservatism that is really turning me off in this country. Christian nationalism, it all started folding together. So eventually I figured out I don't have time. I want to make the world a better place in both my secular world and political. And I just don't have the time and energy to do both separately. Right. So I mashed them together.
Yeah.
And I actually formed a group called Secular Houston for that purpose. Because Houston Oasis is not an activist group, I kind of did my own thing. This Secular Houston kind of formed in late 2021. And I got some other people that were interested in helping, but it's basically two arms to this entity I made called Secular Houston. One is to bind all the local secular groups here in Houston together, and we have like a prominent calendar that shows all the goings on of all the groups. And if you're in Houston and you type in atheism or Secular Houston non-belief, I want that to be the first stop. And from there, you can see what groups are in Houston, what activities are happening. You can find the flavor that you want. There are different flavors to secular groups. That's more informational. The second arm is local, is a giving a voice to local secular politics. So we're not a 501c4 or a PAC yet. That's kind of coming in the future. But what we do is we send out questionnaires to all the local candidates, the ones that return them. If they align with our values or secular values, we'll endorse them. And so we started endorsing for the primaries in March of this year. So we started that very early this year. So yeah, we have a short list of endorsees. And I basically I'm really trying to get the word out here, and it's working slowly but surely. But basically, I want to shake people and tell them, look, we did all the work with sending out questionnaires. These people align with our values, and we're endorsing them. Effing get them elected. And it goes more than just voting. Voting for them, that's wonderful. That's baseline. Terrific. But you need to do voting plus. You need to, these people that we endorsed, send them money, volunteer for their election, spread the word, focus your energy and time on these people, because if they get elected, if and when they get elected, they're going to align with our values. And then all of a sudden, if we have someone that remembers our name, then we can start to lobby. They're in office, and we can kind of walk in their office with an appointment. Yes. And say, hey, this bathroom bill coming up, or this bill up. Yeah, this, that kind of sucks. It'd be great if you can speak against it or vote against it. So yeah, just kind of, this is all at a local grassroots level. So we're just getting started. It's kind of exciting, tiring at the same time, but exciting. Yeah, we have a website, we have Twitter, we have a Facebook page, and a TikTok, which we're I'm trying to still figure out what to do.
Right. Yeah.
That's an amazing perspective. One that I don't think I've heard before, where it's, you started out with this from the political position and then moved to atheism, which is weird. Normally what we've encountered is people who are join a group or found a group and build this community and then try to politicize it. You seem to have gone the other way, but like, you see them as wed, right? They aren't separate positions, are they? This, or whatever our secularism is and politics, they have to be one thing.
I think they are. Is some people, they're atheists, they're in a secular community, but they don't give a shit about politics and vice versa. So I just happen to think both. In my world, I just want to make the world a better place. That's really what it comes down to. And in the way I think, both are platforms from which to make the world a better place, or at the very least, just push back on this immorality, the ickiness that is out, that is the all the vogue right now.
And I mean, that outreach that you did, right? And like that platform that you've laid out, like, this is how we're going to do it. You send out the poll, you find out where politicians stand, you endorse them or you don't endorse them, and you build off that to connect with them, right? Become part of that power unit, get them elected, make sure they know you helped get them elected, and then you get the things that your community wants.
That's right. And I don't want to tell people how just vote for these people. I want to teach them why it's important to vote down ballot and how to vote. It took me years to figure out how to vote and research and print out a sample ballot, fill it in the bubble. And it took me years. So I voted for many years, but I just didn't go the next step to give it the down ballot stuff. But it's so important, especially locally. And I want to tell people, don't look, avert your eyes from the national politics. That's a dumpster fire. Let's focus on local stuff. And there's actually a little bit of fun to be had with that. You know, some camaraderie that you gain with other people in the fight with you locally. You get to meet politicians. It's actually kind of cool. So I'm just starting with that educational part. The elections are obviously happening in November, so I have a few months to get out there. I have a plan
What are the values that you're looking for people to align with? You're looking for representatives to align with?
So our questionnaire has about 15 questions. We ask them, would you hire a atheist in your staff? Do you believe, they're worded in a way, the questions are worded in a way to get their sense of LGBTQ stuff and separation of state and church. I believe there's one for school vouchers, the Pledge of Allegiance. It's just questions to kind of gauge their outlook on these topics.
And has anyone been a perfect match?
Yes.
Really?
I don't want to get too specific, but there are a couple that are personally. Particularly Houston has to stay fairly neutral. And we are still officially nonpartisan, even though realistically, I don't see any space in the group. I do want to hold on to that as long as possible. But personally, Will knows at least two of the candidates that are spectacular. I personally am doing what I can to get them elected.
I think like what you're describing is sort of like kind of the next step that atheist or secular activism should be taking, in the sense that like we know that there are growing numbers of secular people, non-religious people, but now the next step is to actually like mobilize them into a political base, and I think it sounds like you're definitely doing that.
I'm doing it here in Houston. And the funny thing is, I'm like getting advice from people all around the country. Like I'm reaching out. Evan Clark in California, he's awesome. He's he's at Atheist United. He's their executive director, and he's actually been doing stuff like this for years. And he told me, hey, Secular Arizona has been doing it for about 10 years. So I looked them up, and man, everything I'm explaining to you guys, they have been doing it for 10 years. I'm like, wow, I reinvented the wheel. I mean, I knew I was doing it. But I didn't know at the time. I didn't have a template for this. So I just
made
it. But now that I know that other groups are doing it, yeah, I will learn from them. I will steal some stuff for them just to increase my chance of success here.
No, definitely.
Yeah. I get the sense you're going to be teaching them pretty soon.
Oh. Yeah. Let's see what happens. I gotta go up against the end boss, which is Ted Cruz.
Right.
Well, there goes your nonpartisanship.
I just thought that. I messed up.
Is he running? Or I mean, it's his turn to run this year?
Not this year. I believe he comes back in up for election in 2024.
And he was running last time. Was that against Beto?
It was against Beto. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
He came close. Beto came real close. What Beto did was generated a lot of energy. So a lot of people voted, and they voted down ballot. They voted straight ticket down. So it resulted, at least here in Houston, in a lot of judges and actually some state reps and U.S. reps being able to flip seats because of the energy that Beto was able to generate.
That's interesting. And this is a tangent, but like he's running for governor, is that right?
He is running for governor, yes.
Okay.
And in Texas, I this is one of the things I want to educate people on. In governor, there are three, like all this ick that you see with the heartbeat bill and election stuff, voter suppression, all this nastiness that they get to do now. There are three positions here in Texas, statewide positions that are held by Republicans. If any one of them is flipped, it changes everything. So governor is one of them, but also lieutenant governor and attorney general. So if any of those will flip, it changes everything. And people don't know. Beto gets all the attention. But if we are able to focus some energy on these other two races, which are vulnerable, it can stop the bleeding and allow us to catch our breath and.
And so have you started networking statewide with other secular groups?
Yes. With my American Atheist hat, I'm now the state director. So with that responsibility, I took it upon myself to go out and meet the leadership of the larger secular groups in other cities in the state. And then I start to see who the smaller ones are and reach out to them as well. But I've already made one round, San Antonio, Austin, Dallas. And I know Houston already, so it's there. So yeah, I've met the leadership. I'm here to help them, and once they are healthy, which most of them are, then my plan is to start to network them between cities so that we're all stronger together in the state. But we need, and this political stuff I'm doing in Houston, American Atheists needs a statewide presence in the Texas Capitol. So I'm seriously looking for a assistant state director in either San Antonio or Austin, so that physically that we have a presence there that can help.
Hopefully someone listening is interested. Well, what has the response been from say politicians from the Democratic Party? Like, are they sort of interested in getting your support? I mean, like this from secular groups, do you think? Or are they kind of reluctant to sort of get too close to you guys, would you say?
Man, that's a great question. You've done this before, man. So the ones that have accepted our endorsement, yeah, they've tweeted it. They're very appreciative. I do not know if some of them have said, ooh, that's secular. I don't want to be out there. That's gonna sandbag me. That's gonna hurt my chances of being elected. I absolutely get it. I totally get it. But I don't know how many of them feel that way.
Has anyone responded with like straight up like, no, I don't, I won't hire atheists. We don't, wouldn't support atheism at all. We'd want to outlaw atheism. Do people respond like that? Or is it, do you get mostly positive responses from Democrats and Republicans?
We've only had one Republican return his questionnaire and it was lukewarm at best. So we did, I think we did endorse him only because it was no one else in that race. But the other responses that we have gotten, they've been mostly fine. There's been no nefarious or aggressive or responses. But yeah, just because you're Democrat doesn't mean you're secular. Guys that are religious, which is fine. You don't have to be non-religious to get our endorsement. You just have to align with their values and not try to subjugate us.
Yeah, actually, yeah, that kind of raised another issue I was thinking of. I mean, to what extent do you think you would work with religious groups, I mean, who are sort of progressive?
Yeah, 100%. The separation of state and church is a big deal, and there are plenty of belief groups that are progressive, that are political, that have been for years actively putting energy into that separation of state and church and fighting the challenges to that, which are getting more and more obvious as time goes on. I have absolutely no problem with fighting shoulder to shoulder, elbow to elbow with faith groups. If we align, we want the same result, then let's fight together. I mean, I love it. It just makes everyone stronger.
Yeah, absolutely. Are there groups that you've aligned with already or you coordinate with?
No, it's on my to-do list, but you should see, no one can see my to-do list. I'm waving in front of the camera. There's a lot of stuff on there, man. And that is an important one. So yeah, I'm going to start locally and go from there. Try to introduce myself. I have a list of people I do want to reach out to. To answer your question, I don't have anyone on my list to report at this time.
Well, we found one thing that you haven't done yet, Will. That's pretty stunning.
Yeah.
I'll return my award. Okay.
No, that's just another thing to do. We don't want that. So, I mean, this is just, it sounds like so much, but people have come together and accomplished this much so far and organized. This is one of the more incredible things is that you've built your own network there, but not only like in the state, across state lines. How has that fed into things that like your speakers list? You guys say you have a speaker every week. I mean, a different speaker every week. That's 50 people. Do you have a list that you're able to draw from? Are there people you coordinate with who've done this as well?
Yes, we have a list, and I wouldn't say it's 50 a week. There's holidays. Well, now we started doing once a month. We do like a social week, so it gives us a little bit of a break. So yeah, we do have a list. We ask people to come back if they haven't spoken a year or two. So we do have return people coming through. Sometimes people that our members will give a talk. So it's been working. It's hard work to fill up the speaker's schedule, but it's something that we do well.
One other question I wanted to ask that just you just talked about sort of organizing locally, then kind of working your way out from that. Mm-hmm. I wonder, like, you know, since you're involved with local groups, but then you're also involved with American Atheists, how do you sort of see the sort of the local and the national level kind of fitting together, if that makes sense?
Yeah, no, it does. The national level organizations do some things well, and they're an absolutely awesome resource for local groups. So every local group, every city or town is going to have their own problems, their own needs, which national organizations can usually help with. So it's a network, and the more arms, the more tentacles out there, the more groups are networked with each other, whether that be local to local or local to national, the stronger our movement will be, the healthier we'll be.
Mm. That's a great point. And something we should all take to heart and really consider when we hopefully we've had membership, we've had listeners who are going out and actually joining groups, organizing groups and becoming active in groups, much in the way you have in the past few years. It's absolutely, it's the path that you've laid out for people is astounding and really fantastic. Hopefully other people can do it as well as you, or nearly as well. But with that, let's move on to the lightning round called Can a True Atheist? These are yes, no questions. Will, there's no wrong answer. It's mostly tongue in cheek. They're yes or no questions, but you can answer however you like. We encourage
a bit of an explanation. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So we'll start with an easy one.
Yeah.
Right. Can a true atheist believe in God?
No.
Okay.
See, this is easy.
Good to have that one as a
it's in the name. Boom. I think it's in the name.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe this is easy too. Can a true atheist believe in karma?
Oh, that's a good one. I would say yes. Karma. You know what? I'm going to retract that.
Okay.
supernatural, something directing something. You got me stumbling. I don't believe in karma, but a true atheist believe in karma. I'm going to say no. Yeah, just because that's too supernaturally, too something out there directing fates.
Wow. All right. These are strong answers. We like that. Can a true atheist study theology?
Oh, yeah. No, that's easy. Yeah, it's interesting. It's fascinating. And if you understand theology, you can kind of start to understand people, like society. And that's one thing I've done. I've studied more social psychology since 2016. And when you study why people do what they do, you don't get as angry. You're still frustrated. You're still annoyed and embarrassed, but you don't get as angry.
Hmm. Well, let's mix it up a little bit then. Can a true atheist study medicine?
yeah, of course.
Yes. Were you a believer when you started studying medicine?
I was. I was really starting to flitter away from it at that point. It wasn't a big deal, but yeah, I still believe in God and in Jesus. I remember being very frustrated with when I decided, okay, I'm just going to cut Jesus. I envisioned me cutting a string to a balloon and letting Jesus go away. I was frustrated because it took me months to get to that point when I decided I was going to do it. And then when I did it, it was scary. And I think it was my mid 30s or late 30s at that time. But yeah, yes, study medicine. There is a God, I remember, but it wasn't anything that peppered my beliefs in treating illness or people.
Oh, on a slightly different note, can a true atheist support the death penalty?
Sure. Yeah, I don't think atheism has anything to do with that belief, that outlook. Kind of a little bit, the Venn diagram starts to separate with those two, I think. But yeah, a true atheist could support the death penalty, yes.
Can a true atheist say God bless you after someone sneezes?
Yeah, why not? There's no meaning behind it. It's kind of more of a habit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it doesn't bother me at all. They could do it, yes.
Yeah. There's no controversy over that in your community?
Nah, we laugh about it.
Okay. All right. Can a true atheist try to convert other people to atheism?
Yeah, I see it all the time. And I don't necessarily agree with it, but hey, everybody's different. And I guess is the official term deconvert?
Mm, right. Or, yeah, that's a good point. Yes.
Yeah.
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 So yeah, sure. If I'm ever in that situation, what I think about it is I'm stating my belief. And if you want to change your mind, awesome. But I'm not trying to change your mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just me personally though. But yeah. I know plenty of atheists that what they're doing could be called trying to deconvert people.
How about celebrate Christmas? Can a true atheist celebrate Christmas?
Yeah, it's a pagan holiday. It's great. absolutely yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. And last but not least, can a true atheist not care about joining a community, a secular community?
Yes, it happens all the time. Mm-hmm. Apparently we're skeptics. We don't like being part of groups, mm-hmm. and we like right. to independently. So yeah, I don't know the data, but yeah, absolutely a lot of atheists don't want to be part of a group. I dig it.
Do you have a pitch to get them to join? I guess we can end with this. Yeah, what would be your pitch to get atheists to join a secular community and become active in it?
I wasn't looking for a community, but I kind of stumbled into one, and it has brought me so much joy. It's a great outlet to improve the world, your local world as you see it. Again, this is me speaking. Everyone's different, but the people you meet has been outstanding. And most secular groups are there's no pressure. You can go once a month. You can go twice a year or every week. So it's we're happy to see you. But if you plug into the community, then at least for me, it was an unexpected boon in my life. But I would highly recommend it because we secular people, there are many communities out there, and they all need help. They all need people plugging in and towing the line. It's invaluable to have new people come in and contribute to the goal. Now, every secular group has different goals. And yeah, maybe you in your town, you go into a secular group and you just don't vibe with it. It's just not for you. All right, I get it. You tried. Maybe there's other secular groups you don't know about. American Atheist is a good resource. They can kind of point you in the right direction if you're looking for a local secular group.
Will, you always seem to build from the most local and immediate to the big and grand. Like it starts with like it's good for you, it's good for the people around you, and you connect to this bigger world. That's your thinking is so clear on it. It's such a simple pitch. It's such a simple idea. And to see it put into action is pretty impressive. So, Will, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on becoming the Activist of the Year. And is there anything you'd like to pitch before we cut away?
No. Again, if you want to make the world a better place, there are people like me that have some organizations, some machines to help make it so. But we need your help. Thank you in advance.
Okay, that was Dr. Will Judy. Todd, what did you take away from that conversation?
There's a lot to take away. First of all, Will is an amazing guy, easy to talk to, and just like what he's been able to do so quickly. He found his niche, didn't he? That's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's weird. One of the things that strikes me about him, and I think this says the power of religious education, is how clearly like intelligent he is, how well organized he is, how clear his thinking is, and yet it took him what, like 20 or 30 years to move past his religious indoctrination.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I found that really interesting too.
Yeah, that's really astounding.
It's definitely not the norm, I think. It seems like most people in their teens or their 20s, I think, begin to lose their religion.
Yeah.
But it seemed like with him, it was more just like a super stretched out process where there was a long time where maybe he just didn't really think about it that much or whatever, but wasn't ready to be an atheist, but was not really a Christian or anything necessarily.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that was sort of interesting. I mean, yeah, for me, like I became an atheist, I guess, in my early 20s, which even that is a little bit unusual, I think, because I think for you it was much earlier.
Yeah, I knew when I was younger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they, and you know, this might, he might actually be, it might be a pretty normal course. I mean, this is one of the things we follow with the demographics, and there's always new research and polling coming out. There was just one recently that said that belief in God is now down to 81% in the US, down from 87% even a few years ago. And it's, there's this weird disconnect in that data too, because it's like, you know, we already have like 30% of Americans don't attend church. But apparently this may be, well, it's something to pay attention to, and I think Will really embodies this, is that this is just sort of the way things go, right? You stop attending church, you stop identifying, you stop attending, and then you drop belief. This might just be a process. So for me, I've in terms of his biography, that's something that I hadn't encountered before. And to have him walk us through that experience in his life, really fascinating. I mean, I love hearing the coming out stories. I love hearing how people turn to atheism. So I'm always interested in that. What about you? Was there a big takeaway, a juicy one that you found in there?
I think sort of related to the biographical aspect is how it was after Trump's election in 2016, when on the one hand he became sort of explicitly atheist and secular, and then also became more engaged politically as well. And I mean, obviously it makes sense why that happens. I think there's also, I mean, another part is too, just like changing life circumstances. Like you mentioned, like his children were getting older now. So I think, you know, that's another thing that I guess, you know, when you've got kids or whatever, maybe you don't have as much time to focus on stuff like that.
Oh, totally, right?
So yeah, I think, but anyway, I think like the link he found, or the link he illustrates between politics and secular organizing, I think, you know, it's something we've seen a little bit before, but not. Yeah, maybe not. Like, he really makes it explicit.
Yeah, we've been looking for this, and he articulates it. He put it together. And it's the great thing about it is now it's a resource for everyone. If you are a group that's looking to do this, want to reach out to local officials, and his political positioning on it is, I think, brilliant too, like starting local, right? Things where it matters most, where you have the most impact. If you want to reach out to local officials, want to reach out to local candidates, you can find Will online. You contact him through any number of the groups he belongs to. The resources will be posted below. And I'm sure he'll help you set up a questionnaire to send to them.
Yeah, we've got a link for the questionnaire he used in Houston, I guess. And we'll include the link for that. I mean, people, if you're interested, you can want to adapt it for your own local group, you can get it there. I think it's really important that people share these resources. I mean, like, because I do feel like, you know, atheists and secular people, we don't want to just be continually reinventing the wheel.
I know. It's weird how, like, that's a phrase that comes up a lot on this show, isn't it? Like, well, I had to do it, and I'm basically reinventing the wheel.
Yeah, but I think that's something that will come as sort of the movement, if there is such a thing, like as it kind of matures, that there will be this sort of institutional background or whatever, that or groundwork that gets kind of laid, and that people can build upon it.
Absolutely. But we can't fall into the thinking of that it just automatically happens. It doesn't just automatically happen. People do it. And Will is a great example of how you can just do it. It's really like showing up is the biggest part. You show up, you meet people, meet like-minded people who want to achieve like-minded ends, and you work towards them. And right now we're finding, like, with people like Will, we're finding greater networks, we're finding greater resources, connections to greater organizations, umbrella groups that support local initiatives. That's all out there. It's all possible. And if there isn't a group around you, there aren't people that you want to connect with. There are people you want to connect with, but there's not a group already existing. You can start one. It's possible. There are the resources. And it can happen quick. I mean, Will's story is one that, it, 6 years is a long time. In the last 2 years felt like 20 years.
Right.
But man, it's not.
Yeah.
That's, you consider the adversity of the last 2 years for everybody. And to actually be getting stuff done, it's amazing. And, and he, like, that wasn't part of his DNA. It's not part of his training.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's another good point too. You know, I really didn't know very much about him going into the interview. And, you know, one might have thought he's been at this for decades or something, you know,
to, right?
For all that he's done.
Yeah.
But no. So I think that's definitely a sort of inspiring and encouraging story.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. And I mean, we've all got something we can contribute no matter what.
Yeah.
You know,
so. Yeah. And I think that's another thing too. Like you mentioned the Houston Oasis group, just that they, you know, they're involved in local charity works and things like that. And I mean, maybe not political lobbying or whatever is not for everyone necessarily. I mean, there's different ways to be involved in the community and so on. I think that's another important point too. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's another thing we talked about, like how atheists are treated in Texas a little bit in this interview. Will gets a little more into it in the behind the scenes stuff that we keep behind the paywall for our patrons. Right. And it's not as rosy a picture. It's difficult. So for a lot of people who are experiencing religious trauma, people like Will are lucky in the sense that they don't have that baggage. You know, people who haven't lost their families and things because of religious disagreements, like just your support is a huge boon. You know, it's a big help. So just showing up is oftentimes enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, yeah. And Will started with a good place, right? Like he did it because he likes it. All right. He went out and met good people. So those are all, those are all good things that he brought to the discussion. Super psyched about that.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So definitely check out, we'll put links to various resources down below about some of the groups he's involved with. And anything, what else do we need to talk about?
But I think for in the bigger picture thing, that link that we've been looking for, which you brought up, is like politics. And this is a case where it's becoming explicit. And it's really, we're starting to see that dynamic. I mean, if we extrapolate from what Will experience, right? If we take his experience and say, all right, probably a lot of other people are feeling this. It's a lot about like this rise of Christian nationalism, right? This thing that what is a threat to us, starting to feel that way. And I mean, there's some good news about it. Kansas had an election. They had a vote. They decided to keep their constitution the way it's written, and which it protects abortion as a right, which is fantastic. But we know where that threat's coming from, right? It's not atheists who are doing it.
Right. Yes. It was a pretty overwhelming vote, as I think I saw.
It was pretty good. It was 60-40.
Right. Yeah.
That's in a predominantly Republican state.
Right.
So we're talking about a red state, very Trump, and it's pro-abortion, which suggests a lot about how other people feel about it as well.
Yes. Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully that's a sign sort of things to come. Yeah.
And if it's what it takes to get people motivated, particularly atheists, to get into politics, then that's what we need. All right. Do we have any other business? Do you have things that you'd like to promote right now?
Actually, I just wrote a review of Joseph Blankholm's book, The Secular Paradox. We interviewed Joe a few episodes ago. And then I wrote a review of his book as well. So I can include a link of that, I guess.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
People, you should also buy the book.
Sure.
Yeah. So, okay. So I think in order, maybe buy the book, read the article, listen to Beyond Atheism.
Yeah.
With Nathan and Todd. And listen to it again. Share it with a friend.
Yeah. Yep. And we should thank our Patreon supporters.
Of course.
Lars, Debbie, and the AHS Plus blog. Thank you so much
for
your support. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And to the audience in general for listening.
Always.
Yes. Yeah. Really. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you have any complaints, be sure to reach out. We love hearing from you guys at Nath G. Alexander on Twitter. Yeah. So big thanks to Dr. Will.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We'll see everyone next time.